Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason. This is the first time I've said this, isn't it, Mason?
I wasn't in your life?
Yeah, no.
Wow.
I wasn't like, why can't I hear myself through the headphones? I wonder if it's because I've muted everything.
Do you think it's because of these two big glowing red buttons that are on? Well, it was.
It was. It turned out it was, yeah.
Nice. So much for recording in the daytime, but fresh as a bloody daisy.
Yeah, it's true. Also, I just had a nap. So I woke up, I'm having this coconut sugar. I'm like,
that's true.
I just made it. So you'll notice me, like, I'll peak and then I'll crash. You're gonna feel that through the
great
show.
What's interesting, though, also, is we're like, we're going to record in the daytime. This is going to be incredible. We do it in a windowless room.
Yeah.
It's just struck me now.
Yeah, there could be a nuclear strike.
Windows, there's no ventilation, really.
No, there's an aircon. It's not on.
Sure.
Do you want it on? We should probably put it on.
No.
Just get some airflow.
Okay, let's get some airflow.
All right, we're going to get some airflow, everybody.
This is very exciting. Oh,
no, I've peaked.
He's left the remote for the aircon in a different room. Why? Who knows? Ollie's here. Ollie snuck in.
Ollie, you're not allowed to sneak in. You got to sneak
out. See, Ollie. Bye. I'm the good parent. I'm the fun one.
No, this room isn't. This room would kill a dog. You're not supposed to put anybody in it.
Oh, no.
It's not ventilated properly. There's asbestos in the walls. I'm happy for us to, you know, to endure all that. Mason, it's big news week.
We've got a soldier on. It's the big. We're doing the big work.
That's right. Big news week. We're going to talk about potentially the return of Superman. We've got a bunch of new trailers we've got to talk about, including Black Panther, and Mario is in a trailer.
My goodness.
Isn't he? That flat-assed bitch, he's back, isn't he?
Whoa.
See how flat his ass was, Mason?
I did see that,
so
yes.
Flat.
Yes. What the world has lost.
I also want to talk about some more potential spin-off shows at Disney and what will be happening with them.
Okay.
Then we're going to talk about a new Marvel special, Werewolf by Night.
So spooky.
And of course, well, yeah, it's the spookiest time of year, Mason. And I'm not just talking about tax time. I'm talking about Werewolf by Night and Halloween, the Halloween season,
Mason. I didn't do my taxes. I considered it, but I didn't have any free time. I mean, I had a ton of free time.
We have an accountant, so I don't have to do anything.
Wow.
I just go, Claire, have you spoken to the accountant about our taxes? And she goes, And I go, all right, good work.
Great. It's a winning team right there.
Certainly is, Mason. So those are the newses. Not a huge amount of newses, but is that enough newses for you?
I think so, yeah.
Let's start with some newses.
Is it enough newses for users, for listeners?
You tell us.
Yeah.
Email in if it's enough newses.
For users.
For users. So this is via the Direct. Apparently Henry Cavill's Superman, now you've probably seen the rumblings that he's in Black Adam maybe. We've been hearing about it for a while.
Sure, sure.
But we don't know whether that's true, but it's said that his return is because The Rock demanded it, and not just demanded it for him to appear in the movie. Mm-hmm. He went hard, full court press.
Okay.
There's a pause right there. Okay. and made them go to Henry Cavill, and they signed a new deal with Henry Cavill, including saying they were going to develop a new Superman movie. It was all because The Rock insisted.
The Rock showed up at Henry Cavill's house.
Yes.
And he kicked over all his Warhammer figurines. He pretended he was some sort of big orc giant. And he kicked over all his various little armies.
Yep.
And he was like, the destruction stops when you appear.
You better have been working out because you're going to be Superman again. You better have been working out. Do you think this is also because, like, he knows what's happening on social media. He knows people like Henry Cavill, mm-hmm. but also he wants somebody to fight in the movies to make a bigger movie
yep.
so they can make Black Adam versus Superman.
Yes.
Well, I kind of want to see Black Adam versus Shazam, maybe.
Well, I mean, tonally they can't do it anymore, you know?
No, they could,
but I think they maybe would need, I think maybe Fury of the Gods needs to maybe turn a bit darker towards the end, perhaps.
Okay.
I think we need a tonal shift of Captain Marvel, Shazam, to a little bit darker and grimmer.
Yeah.
In order to fight
Black
Adam.
That's what it's like in the comics, though,
yeah,
right?
It is.
They're different whatevers.
Yeah.
Maybe he kills Shazam and he's like, who's next?
Whoa.
And Henry Cavill's like, it's me, Henry Cavill.
Wow.
The Rock kicked in my door and I have to fight not The Rock, but Black Adam. I don't know. There's merging of universes or whatever. I mean, good, right? Yeah? As long as we're getting a Superman movie.
Yes.
At some point, that would be great.
I mean, whether any of that is true, obviously.
Yeah.
The direct notorious liars.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, do we look at them for...
We did for our bonus podcast where we make fun of clickbait. That the entire last episode we recorded was
that
from
is true, actually,
our
yeah.
pals over at The Direct, yes.
Yeah. So, look, I'd love this to be true. Speaking of bonus podcast, Mason, finally this week that podcast we did on that awesome Superman comic.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called Superman Up in the Sky.
Up in the Sky, yeah, that's up now if you do want to check it out. Collings has been so kind as to, but not only edit this podcast and put in the time codes if you want to jump ahead.
But edit other podcasts.
Some
of which are ours.
Yeah. What do you want? We've talked about this before. What do you want in a Superman movie, Mason? What do you want?
I want exactly what happened in that comic book we just read. I want a fun adventure where he flies through space and he meets a lot of alien weirdos.
But wouldn't you prefer a movie where he fights The Rock?
No. Boring. That's boring.
Yeah.
I'm bored by it, the very idea of it.
I mean, he's, you know, the Rock character is magic and Superman's character is not magic and that so that means that Superman's vulnerable to
magic.
Sounds
boring, James.
Yeah. And I guess we've seen him fight Zod and we saw him fight Batman. So the appeal of like
a
Superman is
going to
fight another guy who could fly or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the appeal in that, I guess?
There's a word that I'm thinking of, boring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't like this Rock cinematic universe with some DC characters that they're building towards?
Don't know yet. I'm willing to give anything a shot, so.
Mm. Are you willing to give this a shot, Mason? The trailer's a whole thing, for one. And on top of that, there was a trailer for Violent Night.
Yes.
Snuck this one in.
Mm-hmm.
It's Die Hard Santa Claus with David Harbour.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, like, I feel like a lot of, like, B tier, like, Santa Claus movies where it's, what if Santa Claus, and it's a horror movie, and what if Santa Claus,
but he was rude.
Yeah, what if he was rude, Mason?
Mm.
But this is, they're just doing Die Hard, I guess.
Looks fun.
It does look fun. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't David Harbour, though, if it was, like, a less famous actor,
sure,
would you be like, this isn't as appealing to me because they put in Eric Roberts as Santa Claus?
Oh, great question. No, I would definitely still be intrigued if it was Eric Roberts. But no, I mean, I think the trailer itself looks good.
It does,
I mean, you know, and it is David Harbour with a lot of Santa prosthetics and beard and so on and so forth. So you put anybody in that role, really. I think it looked nice.
I don't think you could. I think he in particular is a good fit.
Okay.
Because he's, he specializes in rundown drunks.
That's true.
You know, not running down drunks. I don't know what he does. Maybe he does specialize in that.
Don't know what he does in his private life.
But I think that a big part of this is the appeal. I think the same with the movie.
Running down drunks and saying, here, you left your wallet.
Now cross that freeway.
Oh, no.
But like you mentioned this for Mr. Nobody or Nobody, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
That movie isn't as interesting if it's not Bob Odenkirk. And it's just like, I don't know, a Bruce Willis movie or whatever, you know?
That is true. But I think that in itself was more generic. But I think I feel like they got a vibe right. They got the idea. Okay, well, you know, he's brought his magic sack of presents, and how does that work? And how would that work in combat, in single combat with terrorists?
It's cool,
kind of thing.
It's got John Leguizamo.
That's true,
and he was Luigi.
Ooh, makes you think, doesn't it?
And other things. Fair point. I hope it's good. I like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if it pays off, Mason, on December 1st.
Is this getting a studio release?
No, I think it's going to movies.
It's going to movies?
It's going to a big movie.
Whoa.
I think it's December 1st or early December, depending where you are in the world. I think I'd probably still wait for streaming on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my family. Like, it's a good Christmas time, everybody.
You're not going to take your family, your wife and your young children?
No, I am going to take my family,
I said. This one where David Harbour flings a star Christmas tree topper into somebody's head.
Yep, where he sharpens a candy cane and jams it into somebody's face or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't feel like that would that penetrate a man's face?
Yes.
It's probably magic also, isn't it?
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Next up, we had
the spirit of Christmas that'll drive that right through a man's cranium and into his brain, killing him instantly.
As they said,
it's actually a myth. You can't actually like hit somebody in the nose with the palm of your hand and have the cartilage drive it into their person's
brain.
But when you factor in the magic of Christmas, that can definitely
happen.
If that's, I feel like if that's ever happened to somebody and they die, it's because they hit their head on a gutter. Like they fell over and hit their head on a gutter. I'm in this Reddit group.
Uh-huh.
I'm not actively participating, but it's just people getting in fights.
How do you mean?
Like it's street fights that people are filming. I can't remember what it's called. And then
is it like a fight club?
No. It's like people filming in like altercations.
Sometimes
it's a schoolyard fight. Okay. Sometimes it's like two people just at a sports game fighting. I don't know.
A sports game. So it's not people organizing fights.
No.
It's people who happen to see fights and then or they get footage of people.
Or it could be like a UFC or whatever. And it normally ends with somebody just getting rocked and then they hit their head on something. And I'm like, why am I in this?
Great question.
I'm going to have to get it. Next time it comes up in my feed.
Yeah.
The other thing, and I'm not intentionally like lined up for any of this, but I reckon every couple of days I get served a video on Reddit, which is just a guy who bursts into flames. Like he's at a petrol pump and he bursts into flames. He's at he's holding a vape and he bursts into flames.
Whoa.
And I don't know when it's going to happen. Like it just.
Oh, right. Because
I'm not in a group.
It's not some kind of guys bursting into flames.
I'm in some kind of algorithm of dudes bursting into flames.
Yeah. That's almost certainly what
happens. Sometimes it's like a sack of grain. So I don't know. I'm like, oh, is there a squirrel in this? Oh, God, he's on fire.
Well, that's the reason I'm not on TikTok. It's one of the many reasons I'm not on TikTok. First of all, I'm not a 16-year-old girl, but also...
That's not what TikTok is just for.
One of the main reasons I'm not on TikTok is
it's for perverts also.
Yes, exactly. So it's one of the reasons is because apparently the algorithm is so finely tuned that if you look at a video for too long, or even if you slow your scroll just to look at a video for a second, the algorithm's like, you actually like that.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and they're right.
Whatever you linger on is your deepest, darkest desires, and maybe it is seeing men getting set on fire. Why is my feed just that? Why are there so many of these videos?
A friend of mine who works in like cybersecurity and he goes to schools and stuff, Claire actually interviewed him. It's called Marty McGoran, Mason. You might have met him.
Is that Matthew Lillard's character from Hackers?
Yes, it is. Okay. No, he actually emceed our wedding, which you were there on.
Yeah, I remember he was hacking the Gibson at the time. He had those weird coloured dreadlocks. He was wearing a plastic raincoat.
He was the DJ as well. Yeah. But he knows all about this stuff because it's his job to go to schools. He was telling me that, does anyone care about this? You can skip. But TikTok.
I can't skip.
Every you could leave.
I could leave. I can't.
Every fifth video is something random or something that you don't like.
Okay.
And the reason it does that is because it keeps you engaged because it's more interesting to go, ah, and then you think about it and you're actively like involved.
Right.
Where if it serves you just things you like, you're not participating in it.
Interesting.
It's just like, so apparently they've figured it out like to the T. Anyway, we love TikTok and that's the point of all of that, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Great. So.
But we're on TikTok, right?
Yes.
That's terrific.
I agree.
Follow us on TikTok, folks.
Yeah, see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're soon to be on YouTube Shorts, Mason, later.
Oh, that's great.
Well, they're going to start paying. So I'm like, I spoke to Collins. I'm like, we should get on this.
We got to get some of that cheese, as you famously say.
Mm-hmm. Black Panther Wakanda Forever has a second trailer.
Yes.
How does Namor move, we thought? Is he going to have little wingy feet?
Mm. And the answer is he's got little... wingy feet,
love it.
Flitting about like a hummingbird.
Mm.
It's great, loving it.
Yeah. This looks really great.
It does.
I mean,
the first
trailer looked really great, and this continues to look great. Mm-hmm. I love the world building, Mason.
Go on.
I love the world building of this, like they're building out different societies and factions of societies, mm-hmm. and like
sure.
everyone's got a different feathered headdress from Namor's place, wherever he's
right.
from, and whatever, you know? And we also get a look at the new Black Panther.
Yes.
It's probably
maybe one of many.
Maybe one of many because it looks like Shuri'n apparently like the war paint that she wears is the same as on the Black Panther.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But apparently we haven't figured it all out yet that it's
intriguing.
Going to be more than one of them.
Okay.
Which I think is good. I think they should be like, I'd love to see like M'Baku like put on a big Black Panther outfit. And
yes.
They've all got different Black Panther outfits, Mason.
Yes.
It'd be like the movie Shazam where they've got different Black Panther outfits.
Do you think they're bringing back that vibranium shock absorption power where you can absorb all the
no.
energy and...
No, I hate that. No, I don't know. What do you think?
I reckon maybe they're done with it.
Yeah?
Feels like they're done with it. What we did get, though, we got a lot of footage of Ironheart.
Yeah.
Her suit matches her car, which I think is cool.
Perfect.
Her color scheme is the same, which is nice. And that also leans towards, remember Iron Man? Remember his suit? He's like throw a little hot rod red on the suit.
Oh, that's
suits,
true.
Back in the first movie.
Does he have a car that's got a suit in it? In the comics he does, doesn't he?
That's like, a great question. In the Ultimate Universe, War Machine's suit turned into a car.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Might have been, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not thinking of anything.
You might be thinking of what if car transform?
What if? I know because he's got the one in the helicopter in Civil War or whatever, but he's got a suit built into everything, doesn't
that's
he?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, are they going to do like, because the first Black Panther suit was, it's like a physical thing that he puts on, but then he gets a nanotech whatever, and I definitely prefer the physical suit.
The solid one is more interesting.
Which is also the same with the Iron Man stuff. Mm-hmm. I feel also there's like a big weakness in that where if you blast a bunch of sound on it, it comes off.
Sure.
But I also think what's going to be in this, who are they from? The Atlanteans.
Yes.
Are going to have like a bunch of weapons where wearing a Black Panther suit doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Exactly.
Whereas before, if you pin him down and like hit him with an axe, you can't kill him. He could fall asleep in that thing.
That's right.
And you could have a machine gun, like just riddle.
Guys, I'm gonna take a quick 20. So if you guys just want to get all your aggression out on the suit, I'll be here. I'll be here when you're finished.
I mean, you could bury him in a pit, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably wouldn't take a nap. I'd probably deal with the situation if I was the Black Panther Mason.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And why couldn't you be? You know,
it's a great question. Mm-hmm. Anything else about this? Other than it's coming out soon and it looks good, let me find the release date of this so we all know.
No, that's just about it, I think. Looked good. Looked really good.
November 10th.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
It's like a month away. Wow. Really good stuff, Mason. But, of course, before then and now, we have to watch the movie Black Adam.
That's what it is.
And that's happening. But the biggest trailer for the week, though.
Black Adam featuring the Adam Smasher. Just a guy named Adam.
Yeah, biggest trailer is it's from Illumination and Nintendo. They're working in tandem because Nintendo have been very...
Very subjective of you to say this is the biggest trailer.
Yeah, I reckon it is.
Okay.
I reckon if this was the first Black Panther trailer,
then that's
a different situation. Mm-hmm. But this had the internet into a flurry. I even watched the Nintendo Direct, Mason.
Oh, yes?
I'm like, I like a Nintendo Direct. Oh, the Mario trailer. I wonder what's next. I wonder what got on nothing.
What else? Oh, that was the Nintendo Direct. So
yeah, it was just this.
Just this, okay.
And right. I was disappointed.
Because I believe the last Nintendo Direct said, I think Shigeru Miyamoto popped up and said, hey, everybody, we've been working on the Mario movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, bye.
Yeah.
So.
So Nintendo have been really selective about who they work with in terms of movie and TV properties over the years.
Yes.
So it's basically been nothing. Because of the 1993 Super Mario movie. Mm-hmm. Think about that movie, and we reviewed it for Caravan of Garbage. I feel like that could have popped up now as like a fan film, like a 20-minute, not even fan film, like what if Mario and it's steampunk and Cooper was a dinosaur and whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he transforms and there's mushrooms and the boots, you can jump with the steampunk jumping boots or whatever. Do you know what I mean though?
You're saying what if... Super Mario, but steampunk cosplay. Yes, that could definitely happen.
Yeah, I mean, they did it kind of. It's not steampunk, but I feel like that would have been more kind of better received now,
right? Okay,
than
sure.
at the time, because at the time it's like, why would you make this?
Just make
a Mario movie. Why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what did you think of the trailer? We'll talk about the main thing, but what did you think of the trailer?
I think it's an oddly paced trailer. Unless I saw one that was different to everybody else's. It's the one where Bowser shows up
and
he battles some penguins.
Yes.
And then Mario is just in a world and he's like, what's this? And it's like, it's the Mushroom Kingdom. It didn't really flow like a real trailer. It was odd, I thought.
Well, Nintendo are weird.
Yes.
They don't they don't do things normally or that's why they're kind of like releasing. Every now and then they'll release like 3 64 games on the...
On the Nintendo Switch eShop or something.
Do you want this? And it's like, no, I don't want to pay for any of this. These are terrible. What are you doing? Just put them all on. I know you can. I know you have all of the games. Just release
them.
Just
put
them
on.
Yeah.
Huh?
And then it ends with, like, Luigi, right?
Yes.
Where he's running from ghouls and
etc. Little nod, I think, to Luigi's Mansion.
I would love a Luigi's Mansion movie. And also, it's Charlie Day. And is that not...
It is perfect.
Look, the casting in this...
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, isn't it, on the whole?
I think Jack Black sounds very good as Bowser, I thought. I'm like, okay, that's how a Bowser would sound in my head, I think.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
But what else we got here? So Anya Taylor-Joy is Princess Peach. Don't know about that yet. Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong is great. Mm-hmm. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. Fred Armisen is Cranky Kong. These are all good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you saw, a few months back, it was even longer than that, I think Chris Pratt was like, who plays Mario?
You're going to hear a Mario voice you've never heard before. It's going to blow your mind.
And it's just him with a bit of a New York whatever.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure we'll settle into it in the movie.
I watched this with a sound off, so I don't know what it sounded.
It will be fine, but it's, I don't know why they've done. I mean, I know why they've done it,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I don't like that at all. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I really care, though. Like,
well, I'm again, largely indifferent to this. I'm not mad about this. It's fine. It's.
But I just think compared to, like, all the other casting.
Yeah.
Again, I understand because you put a name to it, and he's done, like, uh-huh. a bunch of voice work that's, you know, he's what's his name in the Lego thing or whatever.
Yes, sure.
You know, what's his name in the Lego
that
thing.
That character may as well be called what's his name in the Lego thing.
Yeah, but there's also the comparison between, there's the French dub went around.
Yeah, and maybe the Italian dub as well.
Yeah, and it just sounds more like the. And also, I understand where you can't just do the annoying Super Mario voice because he doesn't really talk that much in the games. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of games where he talks a lot more and people uh-huh. are like, no, we hate this. So you got to change it. It can't just be uh-huh. like, that's me, like the whole time. Mm. Or you don't make him talk that much at all, which I don't know whether would work either.
I'm a strong, silent protagonist. I simply arrive and I kill and I leave again.
So, yeah, I
put a penny on your eye after I kill you.
Just one penny?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Again, it'll probably be fine. I'm sure I'll settle into it and it doesn't matter. What do you think of his clothes?
I think he'll be okay, James.
I know I will be okay, uh-huh. but I just think it's like you could change it. There's still time.
There's still time.
But I also don't care enough that they did. If they did
maybe they'll do the reverse. Like a lot of people were expecting, I think, and I'm sure we were expecting, you know, he does the Italian voice. He does a big, broad Italian accent.
And then goes,
whoa, imagine if I sounded like that. What if that's the twist? What if he's cursed at this? He arrives in the Mushroom Kingdom and he's cursed, and then his voice very rapidly changes from generic New York guy to really broad, annoying Italian stereotype voice.
Perfect, Mason. I love that.
There's still time to do that, folks.
Yeah. Anyway, it will be fine, and it looks good. Like, it looks amazing, right? Yeah. As an animated movie. It doesn't look, like, generic like some of these things often do. They've really nailed, like, the style of it. He's got a collar, Mason. Some people didn't like that.
Okay.
He's got a collar. He doesn't normally have a collar.
Like he's wearing a polo shirt under his dungarees.
Something
as opposed
like
to
that,
a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Would you prefer a turtleneck?
I mean, at least it's not a white collar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's a man of the people.
Absolutely.
Also,
true.
Where's he from? So he's from regular New York?
Apparently.
Yeah. Because he's like, what's this? It's a mushroom or whatever.
So that suggests that where the regular New York where he's from, everybody's like him. So him and Luigi aren't, you know, freaks.
But in the game, the latest game, Odyssey.
When he goes to New Donk City, they're all normally heighted humans, yes.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's Chris Pratt and he goes to a portal and he's like, I'm animated now.
Maybe.
I wouldn't like that either, Mason.
Okay. What would you like?
I don't know.
Great.
Nothing. I'll never be happy. How about that?
That's great.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway, again, it will be fine and I will 100% see this. And I showed my son and he's like, oh, my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Can we watch that trailer again? Then he was like, can we watch a different trailer for this movie? And I'm like, that's not how marketing works.
You have to wait till the second trailer. The full theatrical trailer.
Exactly. Anyway,
I'm going to take you to Violent Night and you can watch the second Mario theatrical trailer. Son.
So this is out in April, I believe. It was delayed. It was supposed to be December. Mm-hmm. What do you think of a caravan of garbage that we attempt, a Mario speed run? We'll break a Mario speed running record.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think we could do it?
Yes.
Yeah. How much work do you have to put in to do something like that?
Probably hardly any, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you do it once, you get the feel of it, and then you do it
again.
Then
you just knock it off real quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Sure. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And you probably need, like a fancy controller or something, do I? Or just a can I do a ROM or just do it on a keyboard?
Yeah, mouse and keyboard, I reckon.
Okay. Yeah.
Or we can do it in VR.
Oh, yeah.
We can break the speed record in VR. Oh, you know what? We should break the standard Mario speed run using, like, a Guitar Hero controller or something like that. I reckon we could do it.
Yeah.
So not the speed run of Mario. So we're gonna break the record for defeating Mario.
Yeah.
But not the world record for beating a Mario level using a Guitar Hero controller. We're gonna beat a regular Mario level speed run while using a... We're going to beat the normal speedrun record using a Guitar Hero controller.
Like a PlayStation 2 one or whatever.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to have to sort that somehow technically, I think.
Did you see that person who beat, I think, one of the Zelda 64 games blind?
Huh.
And they did it through, like, just trial and error and also, what was it, like just noise. So, like, they knew what creature they were near and, like, what... And they did the entire thing blind.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Good for, I mean, you know.
Are they a blind person or are they?
Yeah, no, they weren't like, imagine if I was blind, check this out.
Guys, I'm fully sighted and I'm just playing this game, but imagine if I was blind, pretty impressive, right? Oh, I've won the world record for dumbest idiot. Terrific. Here's one bit of news. This is from The Guardian.
Oh, wow.
Alan Moore said, I've just picked this. I haven't read the entire article yet. Okay. I'm just going with this. I think this is a fascinating pull quote from Alan Moore, as he is renowned for fascinating pull quotes. Did you see this?
No, I haven't seen this at all, actually. This is an exciting one bit of news. Normally you bring absolute dreck.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that dreck. Watchmen author Alan Moore, I'm definitely done with comics. But here's the line that everybody's pulled out of this one. It has serious and worrying implications for the future if millions of adults are queuing up to see Batman movies, because that kind of infantilization could very often be a precursor to fascism.
Oh, wow.
Going hard, this bloke.
I've talked about this, but I think there is a link between people getting obsessed with, like, characters and brands, because now it's so much harder to own something.
Mm.
Like, you're crippled with debt, you can't buy a house, you know, you're doing like loan payments on a car to drive to a job that you hate, for example.
Are you talking about me directly?
Yeah, this is you, Mason.
Oh my god, I did just drive to a job that I hate.
But and so people attach themselves to brands, and so their identity and things that they go in and fight for and argue about, they don't really matter.
Yeah.
But it's like it's the thing that they have ownership and feel like they have a say in, whereas everything else is like just like their life is destroyed by. Let's not say capitalism, but let's say like a system style capitalism. For example, I say from an iPhone, don't you benefit from capitalism? You're right, I should live in the woods. I know, I didn't say capitalism. I'm talking about a different thing.
Capitalism, a system you've invented.
Yes, sir. No, that's not, your iPhone.
It's where everything is crap except for the stuff we make, which is also crap, but in a different
way. In a different way, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
I don't know whether there's any truth in that, but I saw somebody say it, and so I've just been repeating it.
A thought I had recently was that about satire is that...
Is this thought going to be satire? Like, do I have to have a deeper understanding of something?
Maybe this entire thing is satire. You're going to have to listen out for a different level. No, I feel like the problem with satire in a lot of cases is that people think that consuming the satire is the one thing you need to do.
Oh, okay,
Like, I think for every... person who, you know, goes to a rally to support abortion rights or something like that.
Yeah.
There's another person who watched The Handmaid's Tale and they're like, well, I've done my duty.
I get it.
You know, kind of thing where it's like.
I agree and I get it.
Oh, no.
No, I'm saying that's the person would say.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. I've done it. So, you know.
Yeah, that's very interesting, actually.
Well, I'm the first person to have that thought.
Yeah, you say from your iPhone, Mason. I'm just saying you have to exist within a system. So that's why you have to have an iPhone and et cetera.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying, Mason. Whoa. Also, that's another level to this.
Wow. So, yeah, Alan Moore, he's got a short story collection out, which is why he's being interviewed.
Saying average. Do you think he plans that out then? He's like, what can I say to get people reading this or whatever? Is he a master marketer? Because he's never left the news. And yet
he
hasn't been in comics for what, 20 years?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What do you think, though? People lining up for Batman, is that... fascism?
I don't think it is. Look, I'm sure this has been blown out of proportion. I didn't read the article. I'm reading it as we speak currently.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
I think it's closer to the thing that you said. Like, it's an obsession with brands and kind of, you know, as opposed to stories. It's like, okay, I'm going to line up for this, even if it isn't particularly good.
But it could be a brand or like a politician or, do you know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily have to be a pop culture thing.
That's true.
But often it is. This is via the Cosmic Circus, Mason. They say that many upcoming Disney Marvel spin-off shows, for example, there's one for Black Panther and there's one for Shang-Chi.
Before we go on to that.
Oh, Mason, come on. Now I got to say all this again later.
I know, and pretend like it's new. His contention, he says here, I didn't really think that superheroes were adult fare. I think that was a misunderstanding born of what happened in the 1980s, to which I must put my hand up to a considerable share of the blame, though it was not intentional, when things like Watchmen were first appearing. There were an awful lot of headlines saying comics have grown up. I tend to think that no, comics hadn't grown up. There were a few titles that were more adult than people were used to, but the majority of comics titles were pretty much the same as they'd ever been. It wasn't comics growing up. I think it was more comics meeting the emotional age of the audience coming the other way.
That's interesting.
Mm. Yeah. That's not just infantile and dangerous.
Yeah, because, well, that's true in the sense that, like, not every comic in the 80s was Watchmen, you know. Mm. There was also just regular comic stuff going on.
That's true, yeah.
At the same time.
But it's an urge towards simpler times and simpler realities.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that I like a lot of the push towards superhero stuff. It is partly like, oh, I loved that stuff when I was a kid, and I, you know.
I think people are looking for that feeling in, like, Star Wars as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's simple solutions to complicated problems.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, okay, well, there's all this stuff happening in the real world and I can't do anything about it, but Iron Man could just come in and just blast everybody. So that would be.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be drunk and he could still do it.
He would be drunk and he's rich, so it's fine.
Yeah, what's Alan Moore saying this from, though? An iPhone?
He's probably saying, yeah.
Typical.
Wow, it's saying it's from it says it's being sent from his brand new iPhone 14, which he got for being an influencer.
I knew
makes
it.
You think, doesn't it?
I knew it. I knew it, Mason.
Yeah,
everything's invalid now. Anyway, Mason, this is via
sent from my cave and my iPhone 14.
This is via the Cosmic Circus, Mason.
Ooh, never heard of him.
Many upcoming Disney Marvel spin-off shows for Black Panther and also, for example, Shang-Chi, they are being planned now as special presentations. Instead of six episodes of whatever.
Right.
If this is true, good. we're about to talk about one, but I really like the idea of being like, here's 50 minutes of something. Now get out of here.
Here's 50 minutes of something. Did you like it? Well, maybe we'll do another 50 minutes somewhere down the track.
Or we won't.
Or we won't.
Well, this is it.
Mm.
So, yeah, I really like that idea. Also, and we've talked about, did we talk about this last week where it's like having a Marvel thing every week it upsets people.
It's spreading Kevin Feige quite thin. It's spreading the audience quite thin. It's
spreading us quite thin, isn't it?
No, I'm as thick as ever.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, that's true. It says from an iPhone as well.
Come on, mate.
Yeah. I was this last week where I mentioned this, but yeah, you can't ever get a chance to breathe or like even take in something because there's always the next thing. You're not anticipating anything as much because there's always.
But also I like the idea of, and you know, comics have done, you know, you do your 22 page thing, you might do an 80 page giant special or something like that, or, you know, why not at this point, why not try out different formats and different.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you'd have to get rid of the shows. I know they're doing, Mason, come on. You just, come on, Mason. Mason, come on. Be serious for once. Ah, he's out of control. Oh, no. Actually, I think he's just lost in that now. He's just like a cat.
Whee! Oh, God.
Like Daredevil's going to be 16.
Yes.
You know, and that's longer than, you know, even She-Hulk, which is 9 or 10 or whatever it is. Yeah, which we'll talk about Daredevil in a bit. We'll probably do it after Werewolf by Night.
But we have mentioned in the past, you know, the Marvel one-shots that used to appear on DVD and Blu-ray releases.
This felt a lot like that,
actually. And they were often like 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes or something like that. This could very well be a happy medium because with a lot of those you go, okay, but what happened next after they retrieved the Chitauri gun or whatever? Like what happened
nothing.
After that? Yeah, nothing. But I want to see that.
Yeah, I'd want to see that
I want to see
too.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, they've got the gun in the back of their car and they drive back to S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters and they put it in the weapons locker and they sign off for it and they get a coffee and they're like, I shouldn't have drunk that last coffee. That's going to keep me up kind of thing. And then
they brought in Lizzie Kaplan for one, didn't they?
Yeah, then, Item 47, I think it was called.
Yeah, and that was good.
Yeah, that I think was that, if I remember correctly, that was sort of a test run for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, okay, like, that makes sense.
Does this work? Okay, well,
let's recast all of this.
Yes, does this work as kind of like, okay, well, here's some behind-the-scenes stuff of the Marvel Universe. It's not superhero-y stuff. It's more small time. Let's see if that works. And then it did. But yeah, like try some hour long stuff, a single, you know, like an 80 page special kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
One big continuous story, not quite enough for 2 hours, certainly not enough for 6 hours.
No, absolutely.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one of a kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Guess what time it is? It's time to cozy up and save money by cooking at home. Fall is the perfect time to experience delicious taste and the unparalleled convenience of HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, ingredients travel from the farm to your doorstep in less than 7 days. So you know they're fresh. HelloFresh. HelloFresh. Plus, pre-proportioned ingredients make cooking a snap and cut down on food waste. Do you have a packed calendar? Well, HelloFresh's quick and easy meals, like their 20-minute recipes or low-prep and easy cleanup option, means you'll spend less time in the kitchen and more time with your loved ones. And you know what? That's what we're doing at home. We're cooking together, and HelloFresh, all their meals, it's all planned out nicely. There's a recipe card. You know exactly what you're doing. You can follow it step by step with a kid if you want, or somebody else, or just do it by yourself. It doesn't really matter. It's so easy and it's so quick. That is an option for you. That being that options are limitless in terms of how you cook your food. And speaking of, one that we tried recently was the sticky beef sausages and apple slaw with spiced potato wedges. Just incredible, easy to make, delicious, saving money, saving time. And how's about this one? If you go to HelloFresh.com/WeeklyPlanet65 and use code WeeklyPlanet65, as in 65, you get 65% off plus free shipping. Just go to HelloFresh.com/WeeklyPlanet65 and use code WeeklyPlanet65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Thank you for supporting us by trying HelloFresh if this is something that you choose to do. And maybe you choose to do that because, you know, it's America's number one meal kit. I don't mind saying that. That's actually an optional talking point, but I'm like, that one's for free. I'll put that one in there. There you go. On with the show. Mason, I hate to
interrupt
harp on about this.
Okay, I was going to say, you hate to interrupt me dropping this bottle cap
on the table, that's right.
A bunch of times.
But it is the spookiest time of year. And it's not just, it's not tax season. It's just, it is. This is independent of tax season. It is the spookiest time of the year.
It's really interesting.
Which is an ideal time for Marvel to release their very first special presentation, that being a werewolf.
Mark Ruffalo does his taxes in real time.
He doesn't have like a person?
He does, but he likes to, you know, he likes to go over it himself because, you know, he's
A lot of celebrities are like, they look at all their money and then they go, I don't have any money anymore.
Yeah,
what
happens? Exactly right. You know, he's learned lessons from other, you know.
That's smart.
That's right. But he's doing it from his iPhone, isn't he?
Wouldn't he?
He's doing his taxes on Typical. His iPhone.
Typical.
Yeah. Got it for free as well, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
Typical,
yeah,
Mason.
Yeah. How do you write that off? He's like, how do I write off my free iPhone on my iPhone?
I never liked him. Never liked him, Mason.
Yeah, yes, I...
Hypocrite.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so Werewolf by Night... what do you think the story could have been?
Oh.
We're going to do a little bit of non-spoilers and then we'll just do mostly spoilers.
Oh, well. Well, yeah. What it is that the famed monster hunter Ulysses Bloodstone has passed away.
Yep.
Has
he though?
Great question.
Yeah.
And a collection of the most renowned monster hunters in the from around the globe have gathered at Bloodstone Manor.
Yeah.
Because they have to prove their mettle and defeat a monster that's going to be released on the grounds, and if they do so, they get access. They take ownership of the Bloodstone itself, which gives you mighty mystical powers.
That's right. They have to go into the Harry Potter maze.
That's right.
Some Harry Potter 4.
Or the Maze Runner maze.
It's more of a I don't know if it's a Maze Runner maze as much as a Mason. Is it really?
No, it's just you don't think maze. So? No. Yeah.
It's a bit Maze Runner, actually. I mean, anything with a maze.
Yeah. It's a bit. It's like a maze from that movie with Michael Caine in it. You know Michael Caine stuck in a maze?
Maze Caine?
Yes, James. Not Michael Maze?
No, Mason.
Okay, right.
What's the one with Michael?
It got a remake. I've even talked about it on this
not
podcast.
Not the Jude Law one.
Yeah, that's the one.
They're in a maze in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's maze-like elements to it, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? I've talked about it. It doesn't matter. I'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's in the original version, he's like the young.
He's the
young buck.
And then the new one
he's the old bloke, yeah.
I've seen the newer one, yeah. So we get a Marvel intro, and you think it's just the regular Marvel intro, but you know there's always going to be a twist. And this time there's bigger like werewolf slashes, and it turns to black and white, and it goes boo.
Absolutely, yes.
So what's interesting about this is Michael Giacchino. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is his directorial debut, and he normally does.
I don't even know that for sure, to be honest. But I said it with confidence, so he's going to believe me.
I do believe you. He's going. He normally does scores.
Yes, he did the soundtrack. He did the score for the Batman.
Yeah, exactly. And he's done a bunch of Marvel stuff, and he also actually scored this, which is kind of unusual.
Out of 10.
Yeah, did he?
From his iPhone.
He would, wouldn't he? Yeah. I never liked him.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's more of like a. Like John Carpenter used to do, like
that's true, know,
like that. But I think that's pretty impressive that he's doing both of these things. But all in all, I thought this was quite good. I had a lot of fun.
I had a super fun time with this.
Yeah.
Do you think he got this gig because of his fun little pun titles on all of his songs?
Do you think? Wouldn't have hurt. I tell you that much.
That's right. I think people saw it and they were like, oh, "This guy's got a little something going on. This guy's a bit of sass. This guy's got a bit of color. He'll do anything."
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also a big part of this, which made it feel like, you know, authentic and kind of, it's set in the modern day, but it's kind of, it harkens back to, you know, your monster movies of like the 50s and whatever. But the music it's very good and really, it really adds to this, you know, the whole atmosphere. And I think though it's not entirely convincing as something that came out of the 50s. Like it's clearly still filmed on digital and there's like, you know, you get the real change, you know, that little black circle.
The cigarette burn, appears, yeah.
And things like that. I don't think it looks convincing, like entirely, as you know, as something like filmed on.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
But all in all, I think it's.
It was a nice return to having any film grain at all on a Marvel.
Sure,
production.
Yeah.
Even if it was added in post.
Yeah, but I think also, you know, it being set in the modern day and whatever, it's a good middle ground between how they film things normally and like something of old.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, most of the time it worked really well. And, you know, like effects, like there's some electricity effects and other kind of effects in this that kind of feel more kind of old school than,
yes,
than, you know, than a bunch of CGI slapped on top of a thing. Though there is a bunch of CGI slapped on top of a thing in this. The set design as well, really good.
Agreed.
Really enjoyed all of that. You know, complex rooms and like stone structures and, you know, different creatures' heads that have been hunted and mounted.
Yeah, I didn't recognize all of them. I think
I've got a bit of a list.
Is one of them the Wendigo or at least a Wendigo?
There is.
Was one of them Xemnu the Titan? One of them looked like Xemnu the Titan.
Have I got this written down? Okay, we can do this now. So some of the monsters that appear.
To be clear, these aren't spoilers. These are just.
No,
these
just little
these are monster heads on a wall, yeah.
Yeah. So we see Bigfoot.
Okay.
We see a Nosferatu style vampire.
Mm.
So I guess that means there's Nosferatu style vampires, and then there's like regular kind of vampires, I assume, that Blade's going
to
be
seen,
fighting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There's a Wendigo. There's like some kind of two headed siren creature.
Okay.
There's a Minotaur. There's a Yeti. And what looks like Manphibian.
Okay.
Which is
right.
like a sea creature kind of.
Uh-huh.
Situation. There's also looks like on, you know, at the start you see like a tapestry or like a book kind of explaining, and there's like a bunch of stuff written in Latin.
Uh-huh.
One of them, like it shows like a bunch of monster hunters, and one of them looks like it could be the Black Knight.
I see.
And I wonder whether they're going to tie the Black Knight to maybe vampire hunting or something. It seems as a Black Knight also meets Blade at the end of the Eternals.
Yeah, maybe.
Blade should have been in this though, right?
Well, maybe he is, no spoilers. He's not. Yeah, I mean, maybe, but maybe there was a scheduling conflict.
Oh, well, yeah, we talked about that. That might have been a thing, but I don't know. I think it would have been a really cool introduction.
But I think I'm very excited for a new era of spooky supernatural Marvel characters teaming up to battle some sort of supernatural menace.
Sure.
And I think it would make sense if you went, even if you were like, yeah, Dracula. They're going to fight Dracula, and so we need Blade and we need Black Knight and everybody else, and he's got an army of monsters. I think that would be great.
Do you think because there's a vampire on the wall,
uh-huh,
and he's like, I recognize that. I fought that dude once or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there was a chance that like that was Dracula? Can they use Dracula? Anyone can use Dracula, right? Yeah.
But, you have to have him use a different Apple product, obviously.
Yes. You got it, don't you?
If you want people not to respect him, you give him an iPhone, obviously.
You know what, I found this, like for a Marvel movie, this is pretty, or a Marvel property, it's quite gory.
Yes.
But it's mostly just like CGI blood and some, maybe a decapitation every now and then or a throat cut.
Mm-hmm.
But after this I went and I watched The American Werewolf in London, but just the bit where the werewolf tears through London.
Just freaks out right at the end, yeah.
Like bites a dude's head off and it rolls across the bonnet of a car and then like all these cars like crash into each other,
yes, uh-huh,
and people fly into the street and get run over. And I was watching that and I was like, I kind of wish they turned the carnage up on this.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the biggest they can do at this point.
Absolutely. And that's only because like I wouldn't have been like, oh, that seemed a bit tame if I hadn't immediately after watched that other clip.
But also maybe this is, I mean, and you also, I don't think you would say this is particularly, you know, it's not hugely violent compared to, say, Blade, like the first Blade movie or something like that.
Also, you get away with stuff because it's in black and white.
Yes, uh-huh.
It's like with the first Kill Bill, one of the sequences, because it was going to be like, they were going to jack the rating up on that to, uh-huh, something ridiculous, because there's a moment at the end where the lead character, Kill Bill,
mm-hmm,
she kills like 88 dudes or whatever. It's not 88, but it's, you know.
Ironically, doesn't kill Bill though, does she, in that first movie?
No.
Mm.
Despite her name. Despite her name, yeah. And they changed it to black and white because
to get around
there's so many
somehow,
limbs,
yeah,
cut off and blood's spraying, yeah, happening. And I think that's a similar thing.
I mean, I guess the bar, in terms of gore and violence, the bar has been set quite low by Marvel, but maybe this is a stepping stone. Maybe we're going to get more gore and violence in Blade and subsequent movies.
Yeah.
Maybe we're getting two different tracks. Maybe we're getting like family-friendly Marvel going in one direction, but we've got the supernatural stuff is a bit grosser. You know, like a Marvel Knights or a Marvel Max kind of situation.
Yeah.
Where one, probably not. This is wishful thinking on my behalf, but maybe that is a way it could go, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
They want to maximize box office returns, so probably not ultimately, but...
But if you're putting it out on a streaming service,
that's true,
you can kind of get away with it. But I also think you do need to still tone it down because this appears on like kids access this app.
Right.
And, you know, I think
your kid's accessing it right now.
Yeah, it's fine though.
He's watching that bit from American Werewolf in London.
No, I put that on.
Oh, okay, great.
That was from me. So if they did accidentally come across this, you wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want that kind of backlash, I'm guessing.
Let me ask you this, though, James. If a kid does encounter this, are they going to watch it?
Watch it or enjoy? I don't know.
Are they going to watch the first 2 minutes and go, okay, this is black and white and nothing is happening?
I don't think kids now associate black and white with like old movies and that. Okay. It's like a filter now.
Oh, I see.
As opposed to like, oh, black and white, yuck, which is what we were like as kids.
Mm, yeah.
Yuck, yeah. Get this away from me.
Ew. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. I think just the
very fact that it doesn't begin with an action sequence.
Yes.
Then it would be enough to turn most kids away, I think. It's just a variety of people with different beards showing up at a mansion.
And going, Should we just do spoilers from now on?
Yes, I mean, but just before we get into that, the cast is great.
This better not be another one bit of news, Mason, just before, and then you say one bit of boring news.
I like the cast is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's okay.
Gael Garcia Bernal is good. We get Laura Donnelly as Elsa Bloodstone.
She was great. I really liked that character.
A touch of the Kristen Ritters in Jessica Jones.
I had that as well. I had that same kind of vibe, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the villain, the woman who's the widow.
Harriet Sampson Harris, I've seen in many. She's a famous that guy, yeah. I feel.
She was great. I really enjoyed her in this. Yeah.
She's Beeb in Frasier, and she was also in Desperate Housewives.
Okay.
But she's been in many things. She's in Adam's Family Values, I think.
Okay.
She's a Memento. That's probably where I'm thinking of her.
Sure.
Mostly from. Yeah.
Yeah, great cast.
Great casting.
Anyway, I'm going to say best Marvel special presentation ever.
And an assortment of other monster hunters or all who are good, suitably bizarre character actor faces. And
yes, but I will say I didn't love it.
Okay.
And I think it could have taken it further in terms of how much werewolf we get, how many other creatures we get, an exploration of like the different hunters and who they are and what they can do.
They can
die. They can die. I know, but like still have them die.
Yeah.
But I think you could have done more with that. And I understand there's limitations to time and budget and all of that, but we kind of only get a real good look at one other hunter, the guy with the big axe, and he's fun. And I'm like, I would have kind of liked that for more of them.
Oh, well, I mean, if this does well, and I think it seems to be doing, critically it seems to be doing quite
well. Yeah, it's doing
really
well, yeah.
I don't know how it's doing streaming-wise. Maybe if you want a spooky Marvel thing to watch, you know, on Halloween, maybe save this one up.
I don't. I want to watch it now, Mason.
Oh, What are you going to watch it on?
A black and white television.
What's that in your hand, James? An iPhone?
Yeah, that's my iPhone. I'm just opening loot boxes.
I think in future we'll probably, I mean, you know, there's probably plenty more monster hunters in this world, so we'll see more of those, I think. So,
yeah.
I'm going to say best movie ever.
Yeah.
Best special presentation ever.
Totally.
And we can say that because it's the only one so far.
Yeah. But I also think, to get back to there's not a lot of werewolf in this.
Right.
And what we do see is kind of shrouded in darkness and whatever.
Uh-huh. Just before we go that, I was going to say, this is kind of what I've wanted from the Marvel Universe for a while.
Weird stuff
and just, because it is such a, you know, it is an industry unto itself. It's a medium unto itself at this point.
Yeah.
It's an entire, like, it's its own movie industry. So give us more. In She-Hulk, we've gotten a rom-com kind of rom-com sitcom Marvel thing. And I'm like, I think that's why I'm enjoying that. And this, we get a horror Marvel thing. And is it up to the scratch of like some of the weird, bizarre horror stuff we've seen in the last couple of years? Not really, but I think it's
not where they're kind of going for, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. Yeah. So
spoilers. We're in spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah. So Ulysses Bloodstone.
Yes.
In the comics, he's a man who found a bloodstone.
He found a fragment of the bloodstone. Yeah.
In as a caveman.
Yeah. Well, he didn't find it so much as it got embedded in his chest, and he became immortal. Yeah.
Who was that other? I've talked about this comic.
Mandel Savage.
No, there's another guy, and he's like a 1930s explorer. I love these comics, and he's got like a shard of a crystal in his chest.
Is this a Miller World thing?
No, okay. What's it called? God damn it, Mason.
Mm.
I'll find it while I'm talking about this.
But this, again, speaking of, I mean, the first time I encountered Ulysses Bloodstone was in an old black and white Hulk magazine from like sure, the 70s yeah. or the early 80s, and it really gave me that same kind of vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when the Man Thing shows up. Which
there's a lot of Man Thing in this, which I appreciate.
Or Ted, as his real name is.
I thought the Man Thing in this was terrific. Mm. Big fan of that. I saw a behind-the-scenes thing where like they built a Man Thing.
Right.
A lot of it is CGI, and you know you can tell from that. But that effect when like the touch of the Man Thing and it burns you and whatever, when it grabs a person and the way that the fire kind of like
consumes them.
Really good stuff.
Really good.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much.
And that worked. The black,
I loved that as well.
The black and white. We've yet to see how that works in color if we're ever going to see the Man Thing again. But
well, we see it at the end in color.
No, but I mean the actually consuming somebody with the fire, how's that going to look in color? We don't know. But I think in terms of like the black and white, that incredible contrast looked really good.
Really good, yeah. Mm. And the only color in this as well is the stone.
Yes.
And when it got colorful at the end to Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is a nod to something, but I wish I knew what, Mason.
Mm.
She's wearing
Rainbow Bright.
Thank you.
Famous 80s property. We're bringing it back. We're bringing back Rainbow Bright.
She's wearing Elsa Bloodstone is wearing a red jacket. I'm like, oh, red jacket. I would have thought it was like a yellow or a beige. I didn't realize it was a red jacket. But
makes sense though.
It totally does.
But you wouldn't want to get blood on it. You could get blood on it.
Yes. So Ulysses Bloodstone is like more or less immortal, which makes me think maybe he's not dead.
Right.
And maybe this is some kind of. I mean, he could be. It wouldn't really matter. Mm. But what I thought was interesting about his daughter or one of his, I think he has a bunch of kids.
Right.
Well, he would because if it even is the version from the comics, it might not be. It might just be like a guy from the 50s or whatever. But when she turns up, she's like a big disappointment and her stepmother's like, you should have stayed and done your training. But sure, you can go in this arena. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you quickly learn, as does everybody else, that she hasn't been going away doing nothing. She's been obviously trained.
She's been taking karate classes at the YWCA.
She did the Black Widow thing in the flip.
She did.
Do you reckon she did a Black Widow course?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she might have. But I thought all of that
maybe
was...
she just learned it off YouTube.
Maybe she did.
Hey guys, what's up? Thanks for subscribing and liking. And this, we saw this in the Battle of New York. And anyway, here's how you do it.
Here's how you do that thing. Yeah, but I really enjoyed her with what's the Werewolf by Night's name?
Jack Russell.
Jack Russell, yeah. Like their interactions were quite good. I do also wonder, I'd love to know why he's known as a renowned monster hunter.
I think he just maybe took somebody else's identity.
Oh, is that what happened there? Okay.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, you're probably right. Did they explain that? Do they say his name?
No, he gives his name as Jack to Elsa.
Yes, but
otherwise I don't think it's explained.
Otherwise, yeah.
No, I think it's implied that he took somebody else's identity to get in there. Like maybe he killed somebody.
Yeah, okay.
But that means he killed a guy who's had 100 confirmed kills. Maybe he just faked the identity. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
He just set the because he.
Well,
he,
maybe if in him, like maybe he does kill like Draculas and whatever.
Oh, maybe yeah.
And you know because he doesn't
assume he's human.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't actually know. But
actually, that makes more sense based on how they explain him to the other hunters. I think it maybe he has killed a bunch of vampires and they just don't know he's a werewolf.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah,
but they also don't know him.
No,
they also
true.
Don't know each other, though, do they?
Seems most of them don't.
Because they're all
don't.
Masked and
yeah.
You know, going
but what
about
I liked
business.
About this is there was so much unsaid and like the backstory. It did
yeah,
feel
there
like
were hints
it,
of stuff.
It did
yeah.
feel like an earlier Marvel movie where it's just like, okay, well, Jack and Ted have a pre-existing friendship, and
yep.
It felt a little bit like Han and Chewie. It kind of felt like
yeah.
okay, they've constantly been getting themselves in and out of scrapes and helping each other out of jams and. Man Thing is constantly being captured and Jack has to keep rescuing him, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
How did they team up? Did Jack fall into a swamp one day?
Did he?
Maybe.
Presumably. I enjoyed that. We recently watched Man Thing, which is coming out this week for Carry On a Garbage.
2005's Man Thing.
Marvel movie. Mm. Movie, barely. And like atrocious, but the Man Thing in that looks quite good. I would say we'll talk about it. But the thing, but I think people seem to really like this version of Man Thing as well. Of like, yeah, he does have that kind of Chewbacca sidekick vibe, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like he's nice,
yes,
or he isn't, or he'll because what is it if you're if you have any fear?
Well, if you, it's not necessarily it's generally it's fear and evil intent.
Yeah, okay, right.
Like if he can sense that you have ulterior motives and you're afraid, he knows that you're afraid and you're going to try and kill him or what have you. That's why Jack says to Elsa, talk to him like he's your friend. Say, okay, hey, Ted, yeah, kind of hey, thing.
Five Ghosts, the comic Oz. I just scrolled through my entire back catalogue of comics.
It's okay, right, five you got Ghosts. There eventually.
If people haven't read Five Ghosts by Frank J. Barbary.
Spelled with a number five or?
No, F-I-V-E.
Okay, right.
Are they making more Five Ghosts, Mason? Am I thinking of Five Guys, a burger I've never had?
You might be thinking of that, yes.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a question for you.
Go on.
And by that I mean this is what I think of this thing and then you can say something.
Terrific.
So I wish we got more of the werewolf actual transformation.
Okay.
It's more done in shadow, but that effect.
But I think I'm sure they could have done it. But
no, definitely.
I think what is also interesting, I just love
a horrible transformation.
I would be fascinated to know what the Marvel movie going public at large think about this transformation, but also the werewolf design, because it's very much like 1950s Wolfman design. You can see he looks like a
guy, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like, they haven't gone, okay, we'll give him an unrecognizable wolf face and the snout and the ears or whatever. It's more like, it is like an old school Wolfman picture where it's kind of, he's got mostly a human face, big canine teeth, and then like hair just around.
Yeah. Framing his face,
yeah, which I liked, but it did. I was like, oh, that's the direction they're going in with this.
See,
whereas when I think of like Marvel wolf characters, like
someone with a wolf head,
J. Jonah Jameson's son or what have you, they do have the traditional, or not, they have them rather than the I would call a modern interpretation of a werewolf where they've gone the whole unrecognizable, it's no longer a human face.
So my like preference for werewolves and things is like that. Where it's more kind of, it's basically like a wolf that can stand up and has shoulders and stuff.
Right, sure.
You know what I mean? Like we saw it in, what's that werewolf movie where it's set in a cabin in England or whatever? What is it? Do you remember the one I'm talking about?
Not really. Dog Soldiers?
Dog Soldiers. Okay. Like that, or like, I quite like the design in Van Helsing, which is not a movie I love, but I like that kind of.
Yeah.
But this is, it's definitely a throwback. And I think also when you're hiring like a pretty prominent actor, you'd want to see their face.
That's true.
So it's not
and
a design.
Also, that's a benefit for the actor.
It's not a design that I, like, that's not the design that I lean towards. But I also think when you're making something like this and you hire somebody like that and maybe that person wants to be seen in this role,
then
you have it so you can see their face.
And also, but yeah, I liked it insofar as it was a throwback to older stuff. But, that isn't to say in future movies, if we are putting werewolves in, that they couldn't have
a different
design whatever. Or even this character, you know, like the Hulk or like Iron Man's armors, you could have it say it evolved or,
give it an Iron Man.
Exactly.
Armor.
Different phases of the moon. He takes a slightly different form or what have you, you know. So.
Yeah. I liked also that he uses like scent memory before he transforms. He's like, okay, I'm going to just smell you a bunch and hopefully this means I won't kill you.
That's right.
Yeah. I liked how he like immediately overpowered.
If you could give me a chicken nugget and then I'll
I like how he immediately overpowered the room.
Mm.
You know, he busts out the top of the cage and then just tears through everybody. That was quite fun. Yeah, what was I going to say? Also, I thought the little fun little ending was good. They were sitting together and
palling around. They built a little campsite for themselves.
Man-Thing made him a little coffee, and
it was nice.
That means they're mates when he's a werewolf as well, which is fun. Not just as that. Yeah. What do you want to see next, like in the style of, not necessarily in the style of this, but like as a special presentation, do they do like a wacky April Fool's something with some kind of trickster? They've got Loki, but.
Well, I definitely want to see a Christmas thing if that's the case.
Well, the Guardians is.
That's true, yeah, okay. So what's next? New Year's? Too soon.
No, I think it is. I think they are doing Guardians next.
No, I mean, what's the next event?
Oh.
New Year's is too.
New Year's?
Probably too soon.
No, they couldn't do that,
yeah.
Easter?
Is some sort of Easter
Jesus.
Event.
Does Jesus exist in the Marvel
Great
universe?
Great question, yeah.
Mm. Somebody email him.
Yeah.
Have we ever met Jesus? What kind of Iron Man armor is he in?
That's right. It'd be all white, I think. All white with gold accents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
pristine.
You could do like a July 4th Captain America style thing or whatever. Yeah. Mm. But I don't think it necessarily has to tie to a holiday.
No, that's true.
But I wouldn't mind like a yearly Halloween something.
Yeah, like a Treehouse of Horror.
It doesn't have to be a werewolf. It can be, there's a million of these guys. You know, there's a Dracula.
There is a Dracula.
What's Dracula up to?
Sure.
Let's have a look.
Yeah.
Tell me and show me what kind of Iron Man armor he's going to wear.
That's right. Black with red accents and a cape.
And a big collar. Mm-hmm. Big disco collar. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. But what about this though? Like, is this guy going to show up in on a team at some point? Like Midnight Suns, or
I'm hoping that's what I'm hoping for. Look,
a team of monsters.
I mean, I guess it depends what these actors particularly want to do. But if I had to guess, I would say, yeah, Marvel are exploring all avenues, yeah, all revenue streams,
yes,
and all formats, including Android and iPhone.
Yep.
And I think they've gone, okay, we haven't done anything suitably supernatural. We want a supernatural Avengers. It's probably the Midnight Suns at this point.
Yeah. Put Doctor Strange in it.
I mean,
you need a normal guy in it.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say Doctor Strange needs to build a supernatural team to defend Earth when he's not there.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So he's going to. Because otherwise, Doctor Strange does kind of overpower all of these guys, realistically.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So my guess would be he needs to form a team to defeat supernatural stuff when he has to go into alternate dimensions or parallel universes or what have you. So he puts together Blade, Black Knight, Werewolf by Night, Man-Thing, some others.
Yeah.
Elsa Bloodstone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it would also be wise of Marvel, mm-hmm, to basically get in before Justice League Dark, which is what they tend to do.
When are they going to do Justice League Dark?
They're not, yeah, but I feel like they should, and they haven't, and they've been talking about it for like 10 years,
yeah,
DC that is.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's only like a couple examples where DC got first, and one of them is Aquaman was before Namor.
Yes, right.
But they've made Namor.
To be clear, in the movies.
In the movies, yes. Oh, God, thank you. But
we've received tweets before. We know Namor arrived first in the comic books.
But it seems as if also they've taken Namor in a fairly different direction as well, which is smart. I like all this. It seems as if I will like all the stuff that they're doing with that. That's good stuff, Mason. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it from me. If you have final thoughts, Mason, leave them in the comments below.
I think we're going to get.
I said leave them in the comments below.
We're in the comments below.
Okay, cool.
Tab down in the comments below. I think we're going to get that supernatural team. I'm wondering if the Marvels might. I'm wondering if we might get like a. I know the Guardians are like interstellar Avengers, but I'm wondering if we might get a more like a team like the Annihilators or something, like a big outer space.
Yeah,
because
the Guardians are retiring as well.
That's true. I mean, you know, set the groundwork for another team.
You could put in like Nova and.
We also might get Blue Marvel, who's sort of like a Marvel's version of Superman kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm hoping for a Blue Marvel appearance in the Marvels, but
right.
Who knows, man?
Who knows?
Who knows, man?
Great stuff. Well, it's time to move on to another thing.
Yes.
But if only I knew what it was, and then we both know what it was. But I just had a thought. I had a thought, Mason.
I think
it's actually the theme song for what we're reading, what we're going to read.
That's terrific.
Do you agree?
I do agree.
Cool. I'm excellent at spinning my wheels. I don't think anybody even noticed that I hadn't opened the file yet. Pretty good.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today?
Got to say, Mason, the twitch is still there to say Westworld. Does that never leave you?
Yeah, it'll never. There'll be moments in your life. I reckon the urge to say Westworld will bleed into other aspects of your life. Anytime any sequel, like it'll come to New Year's one year and people will be like, 3, 2, 1, you'd be like, Westworld.
What?
Sorry, what'd you say, James? Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
I guess I could just start up again, though, right?
Yeah. No one can stop you.
Yeah, but is that healthy? Is that good for me, you know?
That's a good point.
Is any of this good for anybody?
Great question.
What are you reading? What have you been up to?
A few things.
Okay.
I was on an episode of Matt Stewart's new podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Who knew it with Matt Stewart?
Who did know it in the end?
Well, that's a great question. I'll have to listen to find out. I think it'll be out roughly the same time this podcast is out.
We'll put this out first so we get in first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want to saturate the market for Nick Mason content.
That's right. So I was on the podcast with Matt Stewart and Cass Page from Sans Pants Radio.
What a team up.
Yeah. So in preparation, I did listen to a couple of episodes to know what I was stepping my feet into.
And you didn't figure it out?
No, I never did. I never did. I'm not clever.
Yeah, that's okay. I knew that.
But yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's sort of a fun little quiz show
where
I want to stress it's not about winning, it's about having fun.
Oh, so you
learning.
Didn't win. Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to say, James.
Okay.
It's about having fun and having a laugh and a good time, but not winning necessarily.
But did you have a good time?
No. I had a bad time.
But other people had a good time?
Yes, I think so.
Well, that's good. At your expense.
Yes.
Great.
And also, I finished Return to Monkey Island, the video game.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
Just in our private lives.
That's right.
Sometimes we have a chat. We try not to.
Yeah.
But you found the...
Sometimes we're trapped in an elevator. We have to do something to pass the time.
Well, how else do we get up to the podcasting studio, basically?
That's right.
Taking the stairs, not edible.
We're taking our custom-made glass elevator.
We should have got two put in.
And we should have taken some of the glass from the windows of the elevator and put it in the studio.
Hindsight is 2020.
We just a beautiful view in the elevator. Maybe we should record in the elevator. Anyway, yeah, we were talking about our private lives, and it's interesting. The ending is interesting.
It sounds the game itself to me, like it doesn't quite make sense, and it's just the other ending, one of the other endings.
Well, I mean, look, without giving anything away, really. So the Return to Monkey Island is a sequel to all the games. There's been five previous games, essentially. But this is a sort of a direct sequel to the second one in a number of ways.
But it's also all canon-ish.
It is all canon-ish, yes.
Yeah.
True. I would be fascinated to know if other listeners have finished this game, whether you were a fan of the games from years ago or you've just jumped on this one. But there is a lot of as you approach the end of the game, there is a lot of talk about how, you know, sometimes the ending isn't the important thing. It's about
you knew this was coming, the
adventure along the way. And also to be clear, the first game is called The Secret of Monkey Island, but in that game you never actually figure out what the Secret of Monkey Island is.
Yeah.
And this game was sort of touted as, hey, remember we never really revealed what the Secret of Monkey Island is? Well, this game, by hook or by crook, Guybrush Threepwood, Mighty Pirate, he is going to get to the Secret of Monkey Island. He's going to get there before the evil ghost pirate LeChuck gets there. You are going to know the Secret of Monkey Island. And as the game progressed, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to, don't know if we're going to learn the Secret of Monkey Island.
Was that really the thing that kept you playing the game?
No.
A wise man once said to me, it's all about having fun.
Wow.
And doesn't matter if you're a big loser and everyone laughs at you.
God.
And they make
fun
of you.
That guy sounds like a guy trying to set up that he was a big loser. Honestly, whoever this guy was, embarrassing for this guy. No, look, I think the game itself was very fun. I think it, you know, the dialogue was fun and the puzzles were that kind of sort of obtuse video game logic from back in the day, but not like impossible, but, you know, kind of like...
You were never, like, hung up on a thing for too long?
No,
you ever
exactly.
look up a thing and be
no,
like...
No, I didn't have to look up anything, which is...
Yeah, you also said to me that, like, you not cruised through it, but, like, it wasn't the longest game.
No, that's
and I wonder whether that is because now you're older and you can do these puzzles, whereas a kid you're like, I can't...
Yeah,
and
maybe,
also
yeah.
old video game design was, like, not intuitive.
No, that's true. I do wonder if... Yeah, if I played those old games, they would be roughly the same length. They just seem way longer.
Yeah.
Also because of loading time.
Sure.
Like when I played the old...
You go to a different screen.
Yeah, when I played the old games, I played it on like a system where you had to like swap floppy disks every every few scenes or whatever. And it's like, and then you had to sit there where I went...
Yeah. Maybe just go get a drink.
Yeah. a lot of fun. But also, I mentioned this to you as well. Guybrush is married to Elaine Marley, who's a woman he meets.
Is that a pun?
No, I don't think so. Like in the first game. But their relationship is really weird in this, in the sense that I kept expecting there to be trouble in their relationship because there's no like romantic elements to it.
Yeah.
Like you haven't seen her in a while and you meet her on a particular island and you don't even like there's not even like a kiss hello or anything like that.
Do they shake hands?
No, there's
hello.
No. And I think maybe it was like a limitation of the character model design or something like that. But surely you could be like, yeah, there was this element of dread to it.
Right.
Where I'm like, is there going to be a relationship problem aspect to this? Like there's a moment where you go, Elaine is on another island and she's doing a sort of, she's on a research mission kind of thing. And there's a painting on her desk, which is of her and you, but the part with you on it has been torn away. And
do you think this is an element they removed from the game?
I don't know, but basically what happens is you speak to her and you go, oh, hi, I noticed the part of the painting was torn away. And she's like, oh, yeah, seagull took it. And then you go into the forest and you find and a seagull did take it.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, like I kept waiting to go to her and be like, is there a problem with our relationship? She'd be like, yeah, we've been... We've drifted apart, actually.
And I'm imaginary.
Should,
I don't know.
Yeah, and I think we should break up or whatever. But it never happened. Like they're
you wanted them to break up.
No.
Because then she was single for you.
Oh. Mrs. Elaine Meso. but like there was this whole segment of the game where I'm like, is this going to be a subplot that's going to be weird and sad? Because it's also this, like, the creators of this game, like, they've mentioned about how, you know, this the game reflects life and, you know,
sure,
our journey along our lives, and this is, it's reflected in the
we
game.
We also got divorced.
We all got divorced.
A seagull also took a painting.
Seagull also snatched our wife out of the so if you're playing this and you're like, God, I hope there's not a weird, awkward subplot about this. There isn't.
Yeah.
It's just weird because
it's complied. Is that a fake out? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is, but it just felt like they were two buddies.
Yeah.
It was a little bit odd.
You should marry your best friend, Mason. You know?
Oh, I see.
Everybody
right.
knows that. So maybe that's a lesson that you missed.
Why don't you marry your iPhone then?
Mate, I would if I could. I would if I could, Mason. Imagine all the apps I'd have.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I put it on bloody mute whenever I wanted to.
Yeah, he's not wrong. Oh, the battery's dead, is it? Let me let that buddy sit for a minute. Bit of peace and quiet, bit of shush, you know what I mean?
So there it is. I feel like I'm damning with faint praise. I thought it was really fun and the game is good. But I don't want to spoil it, but
But you will?
Yeah, here it goes.
Okay.
Okay. No, let's not do that. James, what have you been reading?
Well, what I've been doing every 20 minutes that have been edited out of this podcast is going helping my son in Transformers Devastation, the video game from 5 years ago?
Something like that. 5 years old and he still can't defeat it, you know?
Unbelievable.
I mean, he was one when it came out, but still.
Anyway, it's cool. It's a cool game,
it
right?
It does look cool. Yeah, it's very cel-shaded animation. Looks very impressive.
I never finished it. But
and you're expecting him to finish it.
Yeah, he can finish it for me. You can tell me about it. But, it's good if you haven't played it. But I've also I read all the issues of 8 Billion Genies that are available.
What do you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's good,
right? I enjoyed that. Offer recommendation from you
so
for last week.
Written by Charles Sewell, who's done a bunch of stuff. I'm going to look it up real quick.
But yeah.
That's one of those names where I'm like, yeah, he's
done a bunch of really good Star Wars stuff as well.
That's it. Oh, Star Wars. He did Darth Vader and a bunch of that stuff.
But so I think it's a Comixology exclusive. So what they do, like every now and then they'll like pay a famous creator and be like, we'd just do an in-house whatever.
Mm.
And he's also done Daredevil, She-Hulk, Death of Wolverine.
He did. Yeah, he did Undiscovered Country, which is where some people journey into the land that used to be it's set in the future and people journey into the land that used to be the United States of America to be like, what's happening here? Like it walled itself off from the rest of the world like decades ago and people are like, what's going on in this place?
I stopped reading that.
Oh, yes?
Was it still good at the end? I don't know. I didn't.
Yes.
It was?
Yes.
Wow. Fantastic stuff, Mason. Mm-hmm. But also a movie I watched was The Greatest Beer Run Ever on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, with
Zac Efron.
There you go.
And he goes to deliver beers to his buddies in Vietnam.
Which was a Dugan report.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a true story. And he flew over, no, he boated over there to deliver beers to his good mates.
Yes.
And it's fine.
Okay, great.
And Zac Efron, I like him and whatever, but it's a lot of like, actually, this war isn't good. It's like, yeah, no.
My goodness.
You got it.
Is he shirtless and ripped?
No, none of that, Mason.
Interesting.
He's doing a Bostonian accent or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
But again, if you're looking for a movie that's all right.
Yes.
And war's not good, then this might be the one
terrific.
For you, Mason.
I also watched a little bit of Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which is the anime.
Oh, that's good, isn't it, apparently?
It was fun, and I see why.
People like Cyberpunk?
Yeah, I see why people have gone like, actually, Cyberpunk the game's pretty
good. Oh, yeah, because it got a bit of a resurgence, didn't it?
Yeah, it did have a big time resurgence, I think. So
that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Mm. I know people can hear that. My son's flipping out about Megatron or something. Yeah.
In a good way? It sounds like a good way.
He sounds like he's having a good time.
Sounds like he's having a nice
Maybe he's teamed up with Megatron.
Oh, no.
That's bad news.
It gives you that option.
Do you want to be a mean kid and be rude to your parents? Team up with Megatron.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's got a bunch.
And normally it links you to like, normally it links you to a PSA that's like, no, kids, you got to be, this is a trick. You got to be nice to your parents. But the servers have gone down.
Yeah,
so it's been
exactly.
Years, so.
It's just like, here's your parents' credit card. Go nuts. anything else? Or should we move to the next segment of the show?
I think that's everything. Yeah. Let's go on to letters.
Wow.
We do that by playing the letters thing.
I would love to hear it.
Here it is.
Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
We're gonna hear right now, we're gonna do letters.
That's right, it's here right now, and we are going to do letters. If you do want to reach the show, there's a number of ways you can do that.
So many ways.
Well, there's two that I can think of.
Oh, yes.
One is weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Com, or the other is just send a hashtag, shoot a hashtag out on Twitter like a letter in a bottle. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter.
Yes.
Mason.
Here's an email from Jason Woolham. He says, hey guys, hope you're doing well. If there was a Royal Rumble for superhero sidekicks, who would win? Love the content. Thanks for keeping me company at work. You're the best.
A Royal Rumble.
For superhero sidekicks.
Oh, we'd have to think of every sidekick, Mason.
Well, Google sidekicks really quick.
What
first
are you
of all,
Googling?
I'm going to. First of all, Robin.
Which Robin?
All of them.
Wait, are they fighting each other?
I think they're all, that's a great question. I think they have to all be fighting each other.
Okay.
Actually, that's a great question. That is a very good question, James.
I thought so.
Because there are a bunch of Batman sidekicks, but none of them have any powers.
Yes.
So would it make more sense for them all to team up against, say, like Aqualad,
yeah,
for example?
Kill him.
Kill him, right?
And then Rumble.
All right. I think, if you Google superhero sidekicks, there's some interesting ones here. Bucky is on there as a sidekick.
Yep.
Also, Robin, Kid Flash, Speedy, who is, of course, Green Arrow's sidekick.
My goodness.
Rick Jones is in the list there.
Yep, okay.
James Rhodes, Rhodey, is on there as a sidekick.
Oh, he's got an Iron Man suit. Is he a sidekick, though?
I don't think he is,
Not
though.
Anymore.
No. Barbara Gordon, Harley Quinn, Superman. I guess that's Superman's son.
I wouldn't say Harley Quinn's a sidekick, really. No. But then again, you could say that for any of the Robins, because most of them have got their own books at
Do
this
you
point.
Include junior versions? For example, Donna Troy is here, who's like...
Donatello.
Donatello, who's like junior Wonder Woman. Does Jubilee count as a sidekick? That's Wolverine's little mate.
Yeah, I guess. There's also, who's Wolverine's little mate who's Weapon X? Not Weapon X.
X-23, yeah.
X-23 or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. And are they willing, there might be an episode in this, but who's willing to murder?
Bucky.
Yeah, Bucky. I think it might War come machine. Down to like Bucky and Hit Girl.
What about if Damian Wayne? He's a murderer.
He's also a murderer, it's true.
Though he might not be a murderer currently.
And
at one point he had Superman powers or something.
That's true.
What about like Superboy? Was he a sidekick?
He's on the list, but I don't think I would include him as a sidekick.
But he was at one point, right?
As of Superman's?
Yeah.
No.
They'd do little missions together.
I guess they would, but does that count? Does that mean you count as a sidekick?
But you would count Damian Wayne as a sidekick but not Superboy?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I would say, because Superboy wasn't built to be a sidekick. He wasn't created as a sidekick.
Okay, fair, yeah.
Whereas Damian Wayne definitely was.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's intent there, obviously.
Right.
There
must be like a Dr. Manhattan Jr. that we're missing who would just obliterate
everyone. Maybe, yeah.
At once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, according to this list, maybe second Dr. Manhattan from the Watchmen TV series counts as a sidekick.
Sure.
But I don't think he does. Look, I'm going to give it to Hit Girl because of all the cocaine she does.
Okay.
But maybe one day we'll get into more detail on this.
I feel like that's going to take a toll on her eventually, right?
How about this? Who's your favorite superhero sidekick?
It's probably Nightwing.
Yeah,
or
right.
Dick Grayson. Yeah, what about you? It's pretty obvious, but that's... I really like him.
Very good one. I mean, mine might be third Robin, Tim Drake.
Yeah, because that was the Robin when you were reading comics, right?
Yeah, so I think maybe that, and also I feel he had the best costume of the Robin costumes.
Mm.
Or Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
So many scrapes that boy will get into, you know?
That's true. He's always up to something.
He's always up to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is from Mega Moose, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Spoilers. Matt and Maud Murdock showing up in She-Hulk is a soft reboot or yet a requel. So a requel, Mason.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you know this. It's not quite a reboot. It's not quite a sequel.
I love it.
So you're taking some elements from the previous version and you're repackaging them, but not so different. And you're presenting them again as something relatively new.
Terrific.
So Daredevil appearing in She-Hulk.
Like taking the offcuts from a bad cut of meat, making them into a hot dog.
Yeah, that's nice. Exactly what it was.
A rancid hot dog.
But I really enjoyed Daredevil's appearance in She-Hulk, and I thought it was... Not only, like, did a lot of callbacks to, like, the Netflix stuff, but a lot of the comic book stuff they brought in as well.
Yes.
Like his acrobatics, how he's, like, he's always having a big sex with everyone.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Constantly. He's a root rat, Mason.
He's absolutely a root rat. Yeah, I enjoyed his appearance, and I think, I don't know, I imagine he's coming back for the last
episode. Maybe.
Maybe he's got to go back to New York, but look, objectively, I would say that for a variety of reasons, you know, the fight in the alley where he fights against Leapfrog's goons, not as good as in the Netflix series,
not. But
I think it was still good given what they had, and I think they tried their best to kind of skew as accurately as they could to that series. Yeah. Like I felt the music was, you know, very similar and the lighting was very similar, and you really felt the impact of the punches. And there's a moment where there's a guy on the ground and he just lays into him anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't need to.
But did a lot of big kicks, didn't he?
Did a big kick.
I also thought the She-Hulk crashing through the roof, which I liked. It was like heavily telegraphed. I feel like the way it was framed, like you knew that she was going to pop in, where I think if you had had her kind of appear more like spontaneously, that would have been better. Do you think it's a good indication of what we're going to be getting in Daredevil in his own series?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Because he is also, and you wouldn't know this if you own this in the Netflix stuff, there are various, he's not all serious all the time.
Correct, yes.
First, for one, he's a root rat.
Yes.
And secondly, like he does quips and flips and stuff as well often.
Yeah. I think if you haven't read, Daredevil, because it's going to be Daredevil Born Again. So
yeah, or at least call that.
At least call that. But if you go back and you read the Frank Miller Daredevil stuff.
There's a bunch of newer stuff that's
still it's pretty, but some of it's funny. You know,
the stuff that I read, Mason, I can't remember.
Great question.
Yeah, but
James.
When the series was coming out and then while I was watching it, I just read so much Daredevil and there's a bunch of good stuff. There's one that's like the Dark Knight Return-esque where he's killed and it's like he's older and he's killed and then it's like a mystery of what happened. And then
speaking of
him being a root rat, you meet a bunch of his kids throughout the issue.
Yeah.
You know. But no, I thought the Charlie Cox is great. I think that also has been my favorite episode so far, and I don't think it's just because of Daredevil, but it certainly helped. And I think they're pairing together. The courtroom stuff was good.
Yeah, right.
Their dynamic was good. I really enjoyed it.
I appreciated in the courtroom scene that it didn't make anybody out to be the fool. Like they both seemed to be competent lawyers.
The fool was the frog guy or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. But I think the dialogue in that scene was very good.
I agree. Anyway, we'll probably wrap up She-Hulk next week. We'll probably do an episode.
Oh, we're going to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
No?
We're done here.
We'll watch the final episode and then we'll do it.
Terrific.
That's what I mean, Mason.
That's what I love it.
What else you got?
This is from Dave.
Dave?
And he said, Nolan cut us from The Dark Knight Rises.
What?
Hiya, gents. In older episodes, you've mentioned trailer scenes that were cut from movies, such as Professor X's I Don't Know What to Do and Cyborg's You Should Probably Move. Seeing as it's been 10 years since The Dark Knight Rises, I was reminded of the time my friends and I made it into the trailer holding our homemade Rogue signs with the infamous Robin R.
That was you!
We had no idea it was only being used for the trailer until we saw the movie. It didn't change the movie narrative, but it still impacted our first viewing. As a lifelong Batman fan, I can't complain and still consider it a win because now our legend lives on in Easter egg videos on YouTube. Pick for proof below. There's no pick. But regardless, this begs the question, are there any moments in trailers that you could say would have changed the movie for you if it was left in? Thanks, fellas. Lots of love from a long-time listener, Dave from Canada. And I'll have a list, James.
Oh, wow.
I have a list of things that were cut out.
You've done a big research.
Well, just moments ago because you were busy.
Unbelievable.
You were busy helping your child defeat a wall in the video game Transformers. 30 scenes from trailers that never appeared in the movie. Games Radar. Okay. Star Trek 2009, there's a newborn Spock is greeted into the world by his parents on Vulcan.
Nah.
Just tell me if any of these would change. We're going to do 10 of these and we're going to tell you if these would have changed your movie going experience.
Are going to do all 30?
We can do all 30. Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah, that would have changed dramatically. There's a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah. I think there's a line where Jyn Erso's like, we're rebels, we rebel.
Yeah, I'm Star Wars now.
Star Wars, that's right. That's right. Saul Guerrero says, what will you become? A ton of stuff was pulled from Rogue One's trailers, possibly as a result.
Next one.
Result of the reshoots.
This isn't we got this covered. You can't hold me hostage here, Mason.
No, that's very true. The Incredible Hulk 2008, there's the scene where Bruce Banner goes in the Arctic wilderness.
Man.
He goes to kill himself, but then maybe there's Captain America's there. X-Men Origins Wolverine. Baby Storm is apparently in one of the trailers.
That's true. That is true, yeah. No, that changes nothing. There's a bunch of minor.
Armageddon 1998. Bruce Willis makes an inspirational speech as the team attempt to avoid the end of the world.
Let's avoid the end of the world, he says.
Yeah.
Mm. No.
I don't care for it.
Yeah.
I want to be at home grilling dogs on the on my dog grilling machine, he says.
He's grilling dogs?
Point Break 1991. You haven't seen Point Break.
Does he skin them? I've seen Point Break.
Yeah, he skins dogs.
What do you mean I haven't seen Point Break? I've seen Point Break.
Okay. There's a deleted scene in the trailer for Point Break where Reeves' Johnny Utah corrects a superior who asks if he thinks federal taxpayers would like it that he's being paid to surf and pick up girls. Babe, sir, the fresh-faced FBI agent explains, the correct term is babes.
Nice.
That's great.
That would have changed everything.
Put that in the movie. What are you doing? Oh, Sam, Spider-Man 2002, obviously, they take out the Twin Towers.
Yeah, that trailer, though, was made for cinemas. I don't think that was supposed to be a scene for.
Oh, I see, right, I believe. Right.
But they also digitally removed the Twin Towers from that movie as well. Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 2012. The whole subplot involving Richard Parker's secret research was left out of the story.
Wasn't that in two? I don't know.
Yeah, but there's a lot of it in one, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the subplot in question features pretty heavily in 2014's sequel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they should have so much.
Stop it.
Just stop it.
This
they should
been
have
better.
Taken a breath before they made both of those movies and given Andrew Garfield just one good movie.
And better hair.
He had great hair.
No, better though. Oh, imagine.
Oh, my God.
Imagine if they took the time to give him even better hair.
Oh, incredible.
Mm.
Anyway, bunch of stuff there, James. What do you think about that?
That's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Was that all 30?
Yeah, that was all 30. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I've got another here from War Machine who says, thank you, us, for reminding me of the term requel. Now, if you don't know what a requel is,
go
Mason,
on.
You're just going to have to catch up. You're going to keep up. Right? I've already explained it multiple times. I can't help you. He says, does it mean the Bumblebee is a pre-requel?
That is a great
because
question.
Because it's in a different continuity, but it's also a prequel that takes a lot of the elements from the previous movies, including the design and the Camaro and whatever
else.
Yeah,
great question.
Yes, it is. It's a pre-requel.
It's a pre-requel, yeah, I think
you've absolutely nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. If anyone else has any pre-requels they'd like to send our way, please let us know.
We could do an episode on the best pre-requels.
Most prequels are pre-requels, though, as well, I feel.
Yeah,
right?
I think if any lessons were taken from the X-Men franchise, it was...
Stop it.
Stop it. Do a better one. But also, like, not everybody is hung up on continuities. But that being said...
In that universe, I
guess. The X-Men universe has sort of fallen by the wayside and maybe it doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
I mean, it remains to be seen because we haven't seen another Transformers movie since Bumblebee. But, like...
Nobody cares about continuity in the X-Men movies, though. People care about continuity in the MCU.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that would probably reflect people's wider ideas about continuity. Maybe people wouldn't accept an X-Men-style continuity now that we have the MCU and everything is very tightly explained and
yeah.
You know, there has to be a reason behind everything. Maybe in the next one, in the next Transformers movies, people will be like, why are Bumblebee and Optimus Prime already hanging out, even though by Transformers 1 they actually weren't hanging out anymore?
They weren't hanging out at all.
It was in a used car sales lot or whatever.
Doesn't make any sense.
And he hadn't even arrived. Optimus Prime hadn't even arrived from space yet. You're going to have to explain. Did he leave? They'd have to put in a scene where he leaves. And then
Bumblebee
he comes
fought
back.
The Nazis or something, remember?
Yeah, right? Exactly, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Very.
What a terrible set of movies, and I hated them. Except for Bumblebee, which I quite enjoyed.
It's
and
beautiful.
The first Transformers, which has its moments. Got any more email, Mason?
That's all the emails, James.
You wish. I've got one here from Matches Malognia who says, what are we reading? Just finished Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. 8 punchy issues of the type of stuff that makes She-Hulk haters bloody their fingers on keyboards, Mason.
Uh-oh.
I do want to read that. I will put that in my list of things to read. So I haven't read a lot of Supergirl, but I will. That's supposed to be a good one.
Mm.
And if Matches Malognia can be trusted.
Yeah.
Then that is true.
Actually, here's an email from Enrique.
Okay.
Passed my bar exam and just wanted to thank you guys.
How did you do that between doing stage productions, Enrique? Because you're Enrique Iglesias, Mason.
That's what it says here. I'm Enrique Iglesias.
Okay.
And he says, I've been listening to your pod ever since my junior year in high school, but this is my first time writing to you guys.
How old is Enrique Iglesias?
I know. I'm currently in my last semester at law school and I just recently passed my bar exam. These last few months have been pretty hectic with a lot of late night studying, barely any time for myself. Your pod was one of the few things keeping me sane throughout all this period, so I just wanted to thank you to keep up the good work. Sincerely, Enrique. Can I be the official Brazilian lawyer of the pod? Thank you.
Done and done. Congratulations.
That's right. If we need you for any legal stuff in Brazil, we will look you up.
Yeah, and you come and get us out of prison.
If you could, yes.
Come and get us.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Very
cool. That's really cool. Congratulations. I can't listen to stuff while I study anything.
Uh-huh.
I don't study for anything, obviously. No. I mean, I do this, which isn't, it's not really anything. But Mason, do you know anything about wrapping up this show? If I was to throw it to you, would you be able to take the wheel?
Here's the thing. I don't really know anything about wrapping up the show, but muscle memory will carry me through it.
Let's go, bro.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for subscribing.
I wish I didn't say let's go, bro. Like I said it ironically.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel right or good to say that.
Keep it going and eventually it will become non-ironic and you'll be saying it to your wife and stuff. Let's go, bro, you'll be saying.
All right, I will.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you for sharing it with your friends, telling your friends about it, and thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast catcher of choice, because that is how we get new listeners. James, probably. Do you have any 5-star reviews there?
It's obviously more important that you tell other people about this podcast and you demand that they listen to it.
Got to demand it.
But also reviews help immensely, and maybe, just maybe, I'll read it out on the show just like these two. This is from G. Kolb, who says, the best podcast ever? By the way, 5 stars did an app, whatever app of choice you're listening on.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
Let's go, bro. I've listened to this podcast.
Is that what kids are saying now? Easy peasy, let's go, bro.
I've listened to this podcast for a long time, and it's truly great. One could say it's the best podcast ever, and they'd almost be right because, as we all know, the real best podcast is books.
Now, that is true. That is undeniable, actually.
And this one's from Travis David 21, who says, 5 stars, just an app, incredible. Best podcast ever. Can't wait for their Snake Eyes review next week. Me neither.
That's right.
Very excited for that.
In a way, I guess Shakespeare was the original podcast when you think about it.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. And he also, he knew a little bit about rap, didn't he, Mason?
You better believe
he was
did.
The original
That's right.
Hip-hop.
He was the original white rapper. folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Pod subreddit and Discord.
Yeah.
Let's see. You can contact me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and Nick Meso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. But most importantly, you want to follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. That's where you get all your Weekly Planet news.
That's right.
Let's see. What else? If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. Chuck in a buck or an amount you wouldn't miss. What if it was $100? Can you imagine such a person?
No, that's ridiculous.
It's insane, isn't it?
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's not. But it'll help you while away the hours, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
imagine
certainly
a very
will.
Rich man.
Yeah.
But if you are a very rich man, if you are such a very rich man, you could go to bigsandwich.co for $9 per month. You get all sorts of bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, early videos, all kinds of stuff, ad-free podcast feed. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. We've got t-shirts on tpublic.com.
Yeah.
Search for The Weekly Planet. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Next week, don't know, something.
Who does know? We'll never know. She-Hulk and some other things probably.
Terrific.
And then the week after that, it's Black Adam time, baby.
Yes, very exciting. And the dog's here, so it's also dog time. It's end of podcast time and it's dog time.
Two things. All right, thanks everybody. We really appreciate it.
We definitely do. I'll tell you that much.
See you on, yeah, we really do. Because who wants to do regular life? Do you know what I mean?
No, I absolutely do. Yeah.
All right, thanks everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
I quite like regular life. Pretty good.
No, I mean like regular like life, like jobs and stuff. I mean, you have a regular job anyway. Yeah. So I guess you're a big loser.
It's about the little things, yeah. Like being a big loser. Yeah. I'm going to get a sandwich after this. It's going to be incredible.
I'm going to have some yogurt.
Ooh.
I'm having hot dogs for dinner.
Are you really?
Yeah, my son loves hot dogs. And you know what? I love hot dogs too.
Fire up that hot dog.
Hey, are we having hot dogs for dinner? Yeah. Yeah, not now, for dinner. All right, bye.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.